feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Fasten your seatbelts. My headphones are not working. Pulling back the curtain here for all of you folks on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. 1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. 1-800-585-9396. As I started to say, fasten your seatbelts. Father Larry is in the house talking the new evangelization here on EWTN's Open Line Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. We're here on Thursday. Here's the problem, and I've mentioned this before to our listeners. Tom Price, who is the wonderful director of programming and production here at EWTN Radio, and also is the facilitator for Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders, I follow him and I sit in his seat after he's been in here, and he's deaf. I'm convinced that he's deaf. and he turns these doggone headphones up so loud that I turn them down, and I actually turned them down too far, and I didn't think I was on the air. So
look at that.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. If you'd like to send an email for Father Larry, you can do that. The email address is openline@ewtn.com. You can also text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. Also, if you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd love to hear from you. Your phone number is 1-205-271-2985, 1-205-271-2985. I'm Jack Williams, the lovely and talented Elena Rodriguez, shaking her head at me behind the glass. Your call screener is Mr. Matt Gubensky, and our social media maven is Mr. Jeff Burson. Nice person, as you've already heard, our host, as he is every Thursday, the one, the only, Father Larry Richards. Father, how are you?
I am blessed, but stressed, because I spent the morning and afternoon with Dr. Ray.
I am so sorry.
I know that's the problem. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Did you get the things accomplished that he was there to accomplish?
We got pictures for EWTN.
That's all I care about.
Yeah, and we had it. Boy, they made us do all kinds of stuff.
Wait till you see the finished product. You're going to be impressed.
It'll be impressive. I don't know unless we cover his face with a basket or something. But anyway,
hey, listen, we're broadening your horizons because we got a couple unique pieces of correspondence for you here on this Thursday. Damon sent you a message on Facebook Live.
Wow. Is that new?
No. It's kind of new. We've been doing it for a little while, but he sent a message saying, my wife's quote-unquote Catholic family and friends never go to Mass, confession, or receive the Eucharist. Am I guilty of the sin of omission, and am I risking my own salvation by not saying anything to them?
Oh, I'm not even going to answer because no matter what, I'm done. I always tell people to mind their own business. They should. I'm sure all those family know what you believe and what you don't believe. I think the best thing to do is just talk about how much you love the Mass and Communion and try to get them through honey instead of, you're all going to hell. At least I don't go to hell now because I told you. So I think it can be one of those things. But I think it's always best, but it's how we tell people, I think, is what it comes down to. If we do things because, like I always say, before we ever do anything, we pray for people, then we love people, then we share with people. So if they know you love them and they really know you love them, then they should be able to take you when you'd be able to say, I love the Mass and that, and you're always welcome to come with me. That's an altogether different thing than, you're all going to hell because you're not going to Mass.
All right,
be doing that, but anyway.
And the other piece of correspondence for you is an actual letter that came in the United States mail.
Wow, that's like never happened before.
I know. It's amazing, and it's a person who wishes to remain anonymous.
Okay.
But they hand wrote, and not only did it come in U.S. mail, it's not even typed out, it's handwritten.
Wow, you sure it wasn't Elena? She
wrote
that.
No, it's not. Okay. I can't read Elena's handwriting. It says, it says, Dear Father Larry,
yes.
Would you please answer the following question on your Open Line Thursday EWTN radio program?
Oh, here we go.
When my niece moved into her new apartment, I planned to give her a crucifix to her. Mm-hmm. However, I learned that she will be getting married in August, so I decided to give the crucifix to her for a bridal shower present or a wedding gift. However, I recently learned that my niece is a fallen away Catholic. The man whom she plans to marry seems like a very nice person, but he is not a Christian, and they will be married in an outdoor ceremony. I do not know if they got a dispensation. See, she knows you.
She knows.
She's
good
covering
job.
Your bases ahead of time. Is it appropriate for me to give a crucifix to my niece for a bridal shower gift since she is a fallen away Catholic and will be marrying a non-Catholic? I had received this very nice crucifix after I made a donation to EWTN. Thank you very much.
Ooh.
It is described as a crucifix made out of cherry wood with a 13-inch corpus, and it makes a substantial devotional addition to any room. She's reading out of the catalog now. And we need to get her to write for EWTN. Anyway, so she says, thank you in advance for your advice.
Well, I'm always saying it always be great to give them a gift of a crucifix because that'll remind her how much God loves her and that he died for their sins. And then it might even be the instrument of salvation to her soon-to-be husband. You know, so I'm always big, like, I give away miraculous medals like candy, you know, and I keep them in my pocket when I'm traveling, and I give them to people, Catholics, non-Catholics. Every time I leave a hotel room, I always leave some money there, and I leave a little miraculous medal with a card that explains the miraculous medal. So I'm sure I'm giving them to Muslims and everything else, you know, but it's that sacramental can be used by God to bring someone to him, so I would, of course, give that to
Get it blessed and then give it as a gift.
Absolutely. Good. I should have said get it blessed. Very good, Jack. You should be the father.
1-800.
You could be one now, too. You know
well,
that.
You know what? We'll talk about that later.
1-800-585-9396.
Toll free anywhere in North America. 1-800-585-9396. We're talking the new evangelization on EWTN's Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards.
Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
EWTN Radio Classics is our 24/7 teaching and devotionals channel straight from the EWTN archives. Go classic with EWTN Radio Classics online at EWTNradio.net and on the EWTN app.
Hello, this is Alveda King of Priest for Life with Pro-Life Update. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. His gifts enable us to understand created realities, their value, and their relationship to the Creator and to our happiness. We should ask the Holy Spirit to give us an understanding of the value of the human person. The Spirit enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself gives witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Abortion, on the other hand, sees the human person as a disposable object. The Spirit of Truth likewise shows us the truth about our sins. In Him, we come to understand the difference between good and evil. This works directly against the dynamics of the abortion movement, which identifies a moral evil as a right. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. This is Alveda King on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, this is Barbara McGuigan.
This is Bishop Robert Barron of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles.
This is Dr. Greg Popchak.
And Lisa Popchak.
Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-585-9396.
271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. Father Larry is in the starting blocks, ready to get another edition of Open Line Thursday off and running. Our leadoff hitter today is Sharon. She's in Weatherford, Texas, listening to EWTN at EWTN.com. Sharon, you're on with Father Larry.
Hi.
Hello, Sharon. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. What's up?
I have a question. I'm living here in the South, and mm-hmm. I'm always struck by how readily Protestants will invite you to their church. Mm-hmm. And I would love to be able to invite people to come to my Catholic church, mm-hmm. but I don't know how to do it and then say, but you can't participate in this certain part of the Mass without sounding exclusive. I understand the reasons why, but I don't know how to explain to them without sounding that like the Catholic Church is being exclusive.
Sure. I always sit there, and what I do at my parish, of course, is invite them up for a blessing. So mm-hmm. if the parish is open to that, I say, and I tell them ahead of time, you know, like, again, when I have a lot of Protestants in the group, and I do have a lot of Protestants that come to our church, you know, married to people or Catholic and come visiting and hear me on the radio. And so I say, what we believe when we receive the Eucharist is we believe that's body, blood, soul, and divinity of God. And when the priest or minister says the body of Christ, we say amen. That means I would stake my life on that. That means I would die professing that that's Jesus. And I'd say, do you believe that's Jesus? And they'd say, oh, no, we don't believe that's Jesus. And I'd say, okay, then just come up and go ahead up and get a blessing. You believe in blessings, don't you? Because that way it helps them to make their own decision about that, because there's Catholics that don't even believe in a real presence. But you cannot receive primarily for that reason. They don't have the same faith as us. And even if they do, they have the same faith. It's kind of like, you know, being intimate with your spouse before marriage. It shows you union that's not really there yet. But you always invite them, because that might help them to get a hunger for the Eucharist, a hunger for what's happening there. And they can still be invited, not to receive, but to get a blessing.
Okay.
That's what I have done. So that's, you know, and half my family's Protestant. So that's what we do when we have them here.
Wonderful. Thank you. That was a great response. I appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, Sharon. Appreciate the phone call. Father Larry, do you make sure that they come to you and not one of your extraordinary ministers?
That's exactly what I always say. Come to me, or come to a deacon is what I say. Because, you know, even though I've been to parishes where extraordinary ministers are blessed, I mean, blessing people, I'm thinking, you can't bless people. But anyway, I always say me or the deacon is what I always say.
Awesome. That frees up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. Next stop, the great state of New Jersey. Gaetana is in New Jersey listening to EWTN Radio. Gaetana, did I get your name right?
Yes, you did.
Good job, Gaetana. Wow, what's up?
Well, I have a question for your father.
Uh-huh.
In regards to an upcoming wedding in July, at the end of July.
Uh-huh.
And there are two parties, neither one is Catholic.
Uh-huh.
We are Catholic, and they
sure.
have invited us to their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want to do anything that is improper or commit mortal sin or any kind of offense.
Well, of course,
to our Lord.
Yes.
So I don't know whether we should disregard it or go and try to evangelize. So that's my question, and I would appreciate it.
Sure. I think you can go to that. Like, if they had communion there, you wouldn't be able to go to communion. But it's not like a Catholic's getting married outside the church. They're both non-Catholic, right?
In fact, one is atheist. The husband is
okay.
atheist.
Okay. But again, though, you could be there. Just your very presence could bring, you know, like I always say, bring light to the darkness, not just curse the darkness. So if you go there and you bring Jesus, and that's your whole point, Jesus, I come here today to bring you to them. What a great thing you could be doing that. But again, you couldn't receive communion if they had, you know, anything like that. But you could, like, again, if I had two Buddhists and they were going to get married, I could go, as a priest, I could go to the Buddhist thing. I mean, I'm not participating. They're doing what they're doing, and I'm just an observer, you know. So it wouldn't be sinful for them to get married. The church talks about people. We consider all marriages valid if they're doing what their religion requires of them. You know, so if they were to ever go, if they're both Protestant now and one of them became Catholic and they wanted to get divorced and get remarried, we wouldn't allow it because we take that first marriage as valid.
Right, yeah.
You know, so if it's a valid marriage, I would think you should be able to go. But again, you couldn't participate in anything that would be non-Catholic or non-Christian.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate your answer. And
thank
God
you.
God bless you for all
God
you do.
God bless
for
you. Thanks for calling us.
One line open for you at 1-800-585-9396. Do you have like a licentiate in wedding, in matrimonial form?
This is what I always sit there. I had a wedding in Pittsburgh last week, and all the things you have to do to, you know, to get married, it's the craziness. And I just don't know. Half the time I just call my classmate, who's the vicar general of the diocese. I say, I don't know what to do. Tell me. So a lot of times, you know, because it's very intricate, all the rules in that. And so sometimes I'm telling people, I say, listen, I really don't know. You're going to have to call the chancery, and we go it that way. So,
but if you have a heart to please our Lord and do things the way he would have you do them, it's probably an easier road to navigate than you would think.
Yes, and exactly. And again, often people will sit there and say, and I says, listen, I want to do the will of God and the will of the church with all my heart. You know, do I always get it right? No. But do I try? Yes. There is no guile when it comes to this kind of stuff, but yes.
Next stop is the great state of Florida. Patricia is in Florida, and Father Larry, she's got a question that I think you're going to be answering for a lot of our listeners more than just Patricia. Patricia, you're on with Father Larry.
Thank you. God bless you both.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Father Larry. I'm calling on behalf of a family member, mm-hmm. and she's just recently spoken about her husband's alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been very obvious to everyone, but through the years, she's continued to just make excuses as to why he's passed out here, mm-hmm. why he's acting the way he's acting at family reunions. And now she says that she's told, you know, a couple of other family members besides myself, but, you know, this is a very delicate situation for her to even speak about it.
Sure.
Because she's trying to protect her kids, and
sure.
their ages are teens into college. So
but again, alcoholism is disease. There's nothing to be ashamed about. She needs to know
and
that.
I was telling her this is a very good step for you because
absolutely.
Now you're not trapped in this bubble where you feel like you have no way out. You can't talk about it.
Exactly.
And I was trying to tell her that, you know, the evil one wants you to feel like you can't talk about this. You can't reach out to anybody. So I don't know if this is a good thing. Well, I'll ask you, what do you think? I was telling her to reach out to a priest in her area for spiritual direction and to maybe go for healing of the family tree. But what are your suggestions now?
My number one suggestion is she goes to Al-Anon, which is for family members of alcoholics. And the kids could go, too. And then she's going to find all kinds of resources through Al-Anon. And again, if she doesn't want to go to the meeting, which would be very supportive because it's also of people with alcoholic family members. That's all it's about. It's just like AA, but for people who are married to one. My father was an alcoholic. He died an alcoholic, you know, and so I know quite a lot about this, the whole disease thing. But I'd tell her before anything else to get involved in Al-Anon. And again, if she doesn't want to do the group, she could at least go online to the Al-Anon website and get a lot of information there, because that's just what it's for, is people in her situation.
Okay.
Because again, if she just goes to any priest, if a priest doesn't know a lot about alcoholism, he could give her a lot of moral beatitudes, which are okay, but you need to experience what it is to be a family member of an alcoholic.
Okay, and that way she can get support, because there's no family where they live.
Well, that's exactly why she needs Al-Anon, because Al-Anon should get great support. That's all it's about, is support.
Is this disease, she says he's very angry a lot. He can't explain why, but he feels better when he has a drink.
Sure.
Would you say that also entails trying to, it seems like he always has tried to pull her in, and she's not allowed to go to any church group. She's not allowed to go to anything now. She's mm-hmm. basically Is that something common with alcohol?
It is. It's a control issue, and he's trying to self-medicate. But again, no, for her own sake and for her children's sake, you know, she has to do something. She has to pull away from that. And that's what, you know, there's a great book written years ago called Kindness Can Kill the Alcoholic. Sometimes, you know, what we call it is people, we have interventions where you actually have people come in and they intervene and they say, okay, you're going to the hospital now. Period. This is how you've hurt us and different things. So if not, all she does is becomes an enabler. An enabler, yeah. If her husband tells her to stay home, then she stays home. And, you know, he hits the kids, then that's okay. You don't have to make excuses. Nope, you don't have to make excuses. Nope, you got to get strong. Nope, you got to get back in his face. And that's why you need help. And that's what Al-Anon will do. It's just because, again, if you don't have anyone in your own family that has alcoholism, then you can give her all kinds of advice, too, but that's not the same. She needs it from people who have experienced it, because if not, just to look at this from outside is an altogether different thing than to be in it, in the midst of it, and dealing with people that would help. So tell her to go to Al-Anon. That'd be the first thing. Just get her to go to Al-Anon, at least online, and there's books and everything to help her with that stuff.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank
Bob.
You for calling. God bless you.
To the great state of Ohio we head now. Bernadette is in Ohio listening to EWTN Radio. Bernadette, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Bernadette.
Hi, Father Larry. This is Grandma Bernie.
Oh, how are you?
I'm hanging.
I'm glad. You're blessed.
Blessed, yeah.
There you go.
I want you to know that my grandson, I'll call him T.
Okay.
But he, loved the Eucharist. You know, before he ever received Holy Communion.
Okay.
And he, you know, kept saying, I want to receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. But then when he went to his first confession, you know, he went to a priest, not from our parish, but that he stumbled over the act of contrition. And Father said, where do you go to church? And he said, St. Pius. He said, I suggest you go back there. To confession to him. Well, mm-hmm. You know, because I was so busy trying to stay on top of things, because he lived with me for the first 6 years.
Okay.
But anyway, when he did this, I just think that it hurt him so terribly. And the other thing that hurt him so terribly, too, was, you know, this is when Julia Kim was, they were filming pictures of her with a baby's heart, the host that turned to a heart. Okay. And I had showed him that. I thought he would be so excited. Boy, was I wrong. But anyway, he doesn't like the way the host tastes, and he would rather have the consecrated wine, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, in the meantime, he's a heroin addict. He doesn't have a father, figure in his life. And when his mother got married and had a father with two kids and two dogs and a home, well, that worked out terribly. He threw him out in the snow, and he treated his other children terribly also. But my grandson has such a disdain, hate for him. And I said, you know, you're only hurting yourself. Pray for him. But mm-hmm. anyway, he is a recovering heroin addict. I mean, I think he just started again. He's stolen from me many times.
Okay.
But I did have him go and talk to a priest at a local parish, mm-hmm. and he really fought me tooth and nail to do that. He stopped going to the Catholic school, so he has not been confirmed yet. Okay. But anyway, when he went to the priest, he's a military priest, and he said, I didn't know he was going to be that cool. He was very nice, and then we went before the Blessed Sacrament afterwards. But he really... I forced him to go to church with him, but now I told him he can't live here anymore because he stole from me. This is, I don't know how many times that I've had to make, he's 27 now. So.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Anyway, I don't know what to do with him. I know that he's been in rehab one time, but, you know, they're not the Catholic faith, but someone told me, you know, go to something else and they'll, you know, he'll finally come into there. But I just want him to really depend on God, not on
sure.
me, money, or anything
of
else.
Of course. And again, but first thing he needs is help with his addiction, because everything else, he, of course he's going to steal. Of course he's going to do that. Again, like I've dealt with alcoholics all my life, and I've dealt with them in counseling. And one of the biggest things I used to say, and it's still true, to say no to alcohol or to say no to drugs for an alcoholic or an addict is like saying no to diarrhea. It's be as about explicit as we can be.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you just can't turn it off. He needs to go and get help. And so what you need to pray for is that he'll hit bottom. And when he hits the bottom that he needs to hit, that's when there's nothing left, and then he can go and get some help. Because especially if he's an heroin addict, he could die if he goes off it just by himself.
Well, Father, may I tell you, though, that he has hit bottom three times. He's
okay.
Overdosed and died
there
in my house three times.
There
and you then,
go.
You know, they brought him back. And I think he's lost some of something because, you know,
sure.
He doesn't remember quickly. I mean, you know.
Oh, sure. Of course. He has a lot of things. The biggest thing I could do is spiritually for him is tell you to start saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet and using his name every time you say, because of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on his name and on the whole world.
Yeah.
And that will help spiritually, and then maybe the rest will start falling into place. But he has free will. That's the hardest thing God gave us. So, but I've had to deal with these many years, and some people get better, some people never get better. But you put him in the arms of our mother, and you say the Divine Mercy Chaplet and using his name.
God bless you,
Bernadette.
Yeah, and all of our listeners will keep you in their prayers as well. 1-800-585-9396. Still plenty of time for your phone calls. Talking the New Evangelization on Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insights on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
When he was 16 years old, my friend William was jumped into an El Salvadorian gang in East Los Angeles. 2 years later, he was sentenced to 16 years in prison for armed robbery. There, it only got worse. Armed with steel shanks and ties to the Mexican mafia, he ran the show behind bars, started a prison riot, and ended up in solitary confinement. That is where he met God. While in solitary, a chaplain gave William a copy of the New Testament. With nothing else to do, he began to read the Gospels for the very first time. The prodigal son, the story of the woman caught in adultery, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Within days, he was completely transformed. He got out of prison early through a series of small miracles and started a gang outreach rehab program called Prevención y Rescate, which is still going strong today. Friends, no one is ever beyond hope, because no sin is bigger than the mercy and power of God. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road. Stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, we're talking the new evangelization as we do every Thursday here on EWTN's Open Line Thursday. Keep it right here as soon as we're done on many of these EWTN-affiliated stations. Cresta in the afternoon, and Al's got Eric Sammons on, and Eric is going to talk about the old evangelization. So follow up a conversation on the new evangelization with one on the old evangelization. He'll also have Father Chris Hartley, who will talk about slaves in paradise, bringing the gospel to sugar workers in the Dominican Republic. That's all on Cresta in the afternoon, right after we're finished here on Open Line. Back to the phones we go. The number's 1-800-585-9396. Francis is in Maywood, New Jersey, listening on the EWTN app. Francis, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Francis.
Hi, how are you?
I'm blessed. What's up?
All right. Two calls from New Jersey in the same show. That's great.
Can you imagine? It's like heaven on earth.
Okay, so my question is about grace.
Okay.
And different types of grace. And other than sanctifying grace, which, if I'm getting my terminology correct, I understand we receive from the sacraments. Other than that type of grace, what other types of grace are there, and how do we receive them?
First of all, I don't know how you got through with that question, but that's a Father Mitch Pacwa question. But let me tell you, the Catechism talks about there's only one grace. It's a free gift of God. You know, it gives us. Now, there's ways, there are functions of the grace. So when we talk about sanctifying grace, we get those, of course, sanctifying grace. We got a baptism, and it leaves a mark, and it gives us a stable orientation inside of us, if you will. But then we have habitual grace, which they talk about, and it's also how we respond to that grace and how we live in the one grace of God. And then we have actual grace, where actual grace is the way that God gives us specific things to do, live different types of virtues in our life. You know, so there's sacramental graces, which we get. There's a bunch of different terms, but it's the way we talks about the different functions of the same grace of God. So there's only really one grace, but we talk about sanctifying. It's a different function of the true grace. And, you know, the Catechism in 1996 talks about that explicitly, about the one grace. But does that help? I'm more of an evangelization type thing there, but that would help. And again, okay?
Great answer. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you, Francis, for calling us.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. That's the number Mary Lou used. She's in Cleveland, listening to EWTN on The Rock, AM 1260 in Cleveland. Mary Lou, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Mary Lou.
Hello, Father Larry. How are you?
I am blessed. How are you in Cleveland?
Left as well.
Good. What's up?
Well, I have a very intelligent 11-year-old granddaughter.
Great.
Who came up with me with a question about how do you know that there's only one God, and how do you know that Jesus is God?
Okay.
And well, I did the best I could. I, you know, felt like I fell short, though.
Well, of course, you're always going to fall short. We're all going to fall short. So when I give an answer, some people like it, some people don't. It's like, I don't like that. Well, find someone who will give you it. But there's a great little book you can read called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, which is an easy book that you'd be able to, you know, I don't know if the 11-year-old, but you'd be able to read it and helped. But how we know that, because, you know, C.S. Lewis, you know who C.S. Lewis was?
Very good author.
Yeah, so when he wrote that, you know, he talks about his own conversion from atheism and how he knew that there is a God and how we know there's only one God and how we know Jesus is God. But the primary thing when it comes to Jesus is the way we know Jesus Christ is God, because he said he was God and he's the only one we know that rose from the dead and proved that he rose from the dead by appearing many times by all his apostles, dying there. So there's a lot there, but it's all, you know, in that book that helps you. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. But again,
right. I did explain that to her, that, you know, okay, Jesus is the only man who came to earth, claimed to be God, died, rose
from the grave, and
proved
it.
Heaven.
Exactly. He proved he was God by rising from the dead. That's why, the teaching of the church is clear. If they found the bones of Jesus Christ tomorrow, there is no Christianity. You know, we're based on facts. You know, we're not based on, oh, it was a spiritual resurrection. Oh, spiritual, nothing. It was a resurrection of the body. And we say it every week. But anyway, we need to sit there. And so I would encourage you, though, to keep asking those questions. And then I'd sit there and say, especially because she's already on the internet, I'm sure, start Googling those questions. How do we know there is only one God? And she's going to get all these different answers, and that will help her. But again, I think the best thing to do is go to places like EWTN and Catholic.com, and she can actually write those questions in, and they can give them some great things. But I'd have her do it as opposed just to you doing it, because now she's taking an active step in seeking truth.
Right. Well, she's very smart. She's, you know, studied Greek mythology. She says, how do you know that
sure,
all the gods aren't going to be up there when you go over to heaven?
Absolutely. And so that's that's the thing. But we believe in a God who revealed himself.
My husband should be dead, technically speaking. Every doctor who had anything to do with his recovery said there is no logical explanation for his being alive.
Sure. And that should help, too. But tell her to keep looking.
I will.
Keep encouraging the questions. That's an okay thing. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too, Father.
Thank you.
And Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis is available at EWTNRC.com. That's EWTNRC.com. Next stop, the great state of Wyoming. Patty's in Wyoming listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Channel 130. Patty, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Patty.
Hi, Father. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Well, since you're so good at these marriage questions.
All right. I hate these marriage questions, but go ahead.
I have a son. He was raised in the faith, and he decided with this girlfriend he's got that apparently, you know, he doesn't agree with it. So he's getting married outside the church, and I have six other children, and I've told him that we can't go to their wedding because, I mean, it's a sin for him to get married outside the church. And I mean, it's witnessing someone commit a sin like that, like, we just can't do that. But I'm in a group of other Catholic women, and this has come up over and over again. But some of them said that they've been told by the priest that they should go so they do not cause a rift in the family or a fracture in the family. And I can't see how that works with the whole idea of, you know, you can't be present when someone is doing something that is a grave sin.
Sure. All I can tell you is my mother got married outside the church the first, the second time or the third time, whatever it was, and I was there as a Catholic seminarian because it was my mother. You know, now I could have sat there and says, no, hell with you. You can sit there. You can go to hell for all I care. You're getting married outside. But I was there because I was her son. Now, of course, there are people that are listening right now that are jumping through the ceiling saying, I can't believe it. You're going to hell. Well, first of all, you're forbidden to judge me. Don't you dare. Second of all, that what we're saying is like you have to make the decision about what you're going to do. If you don't go to that wedding, which you have every right to not do and a good right to not do because of what you taught him. If he will reject the church for the rest of his life because of that, and he'll reject you as his mother for the rest of his life because of that, did you do what you were supposed to do? Because your job is to get him to heaven, correct? Right?
Yes.
Okay, so you have to figure out, and I can't tell you how to do that. What is the best thing for your son to get him to heaven? Is it going and saying, you're killing me right now, but I love you, I'm going to be here. But I would not go. If as a priest now, I wouldn't go. But I would go to the reception afterwards because he's your son and you love him. Now, again,
that's our plan.
Okay, and that's fine. Because, again, but, you know, Jesus ate and drank with sinners. There's no other way around it. And if the God of the universe could leave heaven and eat with a sinner, then to sit there and be with sinners, again, like I had a friend who was going to leave the Air Force, and I said, why are you leaving the Air Force? He says, because they're letting homosexuals in there. I said, they've always let homosexuals in there, but just so you know. And I says, well, okay, that's a good reason. But is there Catholics in there that are living in sin? Well, yes. I said, why aren't you leaving the Air Force for that? I said, is there Catholics there that are missing Mass on Sunday? Well, yes. I said, why aren't you leaving for that? They're all going to hell because of the teaching of the church. So we just got to watch at how we do this. So I think as a mother, especially, if you taught him what's right and wrong all these years, and now he spits that back in your face and says, I don't really believe that, then okay, you have to stay strong to your moral issue and say, listen, you're hurting me very much. I will not be there, but I'll be there afterwards. And I think that's a great thing to do. But you got to still reaffirm that you love him and you support him, but you totally disagree what he's doing. Does that help?
Yes, we've had that conversation, and
okay.
He understands
very
why
good.
I wouldn't be there.
Good. Okay, and you keep praying for him that someday he gets that marriage blessed. Because often people leave the church for various reasons, but we can get him back, and that's the whole thing. You should pray a rosary for him every day to come back. You know, you should start fasting for him to come back, because now it's part of your, you know, because your main job as a mother is to get him to heaven. And so the main way you do that is through prayer, and if it's really want it to go to the next level, you start fasting, and you watch what'll happen. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. God bless you.
You know, Father Larry, this is just a concept right now, but, you know, who knows what kind of an impact it might have on him when he actually goes through with this without her being there.
Oh, absolutely. And again, that has turned out to be great things, but you can never tell, because I've had other people that actually, they haven't talked over 20-some years because they wouldn't go to a wedding. So it depends on your family. You know your family, but we always got to take the principles of the Catholic Church, which she's doing very, very well. So I commend her in what she's doing, but she's already said about how much I love you and different things. So absolutely, it was a good thing.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. We've got a couple lines open for you at 1-800-585-9396. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd love to hear from you. Your number is 1-205-271-2985. That's 1-205-271-2985. You know, Father Larry, every year at Easter Vigil, you bless the Paschal candle for your parish.
I do.
And you put some what do you call them?
I don't know.
The nails that you put into the candle as you go through the prayers and everything. Mm-hmm. And if you ever wondered, you know, if you were sitting in a dark church and all you could hear was the priest going through this rite outside by the Easter fire, and you always kind of wondered what was going on out there, go to churchpop.com, and there's a beautiful infographic on the homepage today that explains to you everything about that Paschal candle, and it's very inspiring. And you'll gain something from that, and there's something in there new every day that will help you on your walk with Christ, and all of that can be found at churchpop.com. That's churchpop.com. Back to the phones we go. Next stop for us is Dickinson, North Dakota. Dallas is in Dickinson listening to Real Presence Radio. Dallas, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Dallas.
Hi, Father Larry.
Were you there when I was out there in Dickinson?
I was not, sorry.
No, I had a parish mission out there, 4 days down in the parish. Well, I know there's three or four parishes there, but we had a fine time. What's up?
Okay. All right, my question is... as a Catholic and as a musician, mm-hmm. I play in multiple groups, and I appreciate multiple kinds of music.
Okay.
Is it sinful for me to appreciate music that isn't Christian or Catholic music, meaning, you know, secular music? Because
of course not.
You know, there's not a lot out there that's, you know, Christian music that I
sure.
listen to. And I also participate in a Christian worship group, but I play in a secular rock band.
Sure.
Too.
And again, it depends what kind of the lyrics in that, I would imagine. I mean, because what you listen to, you know, especially the lyrics, they get into you. But at the same time, you know, I listen on my radio, the first thing on my preset is classical music. And that's not all Christian, but there's a lot of Christian on it. And there's a Christian station. There's EWTN on there. But there's a highway, the country music station. You know, I like to listen to all kinds of stuff. And so, and sometimes when I'm listening to some of the country music, it's like, well, that's not very good. You know, but you can enjoy all kinds of music. It's like, you know, if I always sit there and people would say, no, you can't. I say, you ever been to not the music thing, but there's all kinds of art if you ever go to the Vatican Museum. There's all kinds of art there of these other gods, you know, you know, these beautiful statues of other gods in the Vatican Museum, for goodness sake. So you can do it. You just have to watch. That's all.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dallas. God bless you.
You bet. Bye.
Next up is Fallon in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening to EWTN on Catholic Radio Indy. Fallon, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Fallon.
Hello, Father. I have something that you will love. Another marriage question.
Oh, great.
But I'll make the particulars easy for you.
Sure, there you go. We need a canon lawyer on marriage is what we need, just to answer all these questions. But go ahead.
So my wife and I are not currently Catholic. We've been going to Mass for a couple months. We're going to get into RCIA when it starts at our parish. We are each other's first spouse. We have children, but only with each other.
Wow.
We grew up, I mean, when we went to church growing up, it was always Protestant churches, but we were not religious at all when we got married.
Okay.
We were married not in a church. That's the short answer, not in any kind of church. is, I don't even know if there is a way for us once we convert to have a sacramental marriage, and if there is there a benefit? Because, you know, I'm sure that's a very obvious answer to you and some other Catholics.
Yes, 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 yes.
There you go. Jack answered for you. Yes, I think that the best thing, you have a valid marriage because you both weren't Catholic, right, and so would consider it a valid marriage. So you can have your marriage blessed when you come into the faith. You know, again, I do it all the time, you know, and so absolutely.
You know, and there's nothing that would keep them from just between the two of them consecrating their marriage to the Lord as they start their formation, is there?
There you go. That's a great way to do it. You know, just to give and to sit there, the both of you, and say, Jesus, we give you our marriage, and you're going to get the grace. You know, God is so generous with the grace if you ask him for it. So, you know, ask him for it now, and the Lord will bless it later. You know, he'll bless you. He'll give you grace now, but after you become into the church, he can make it and bless it even more. But with Jack, that is a great suggestion. Does that help, Fallon?
Absolutely, Father. Thank you very much, and God
thank
bless you.
Thank you,
and everyone.
God bless you.
EWTN.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Still time for your phone calls. One line open at 1-800-585-9396. Natalie's in the great state of Missouri listening to EWTN on KEXS. Natalie, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, hi, Natalie.
Father. Hi, Father Larry. I got a question for you.
Sure.
I respect your decision to go to your mother's wedding.
Okay.
I chose not to go to my niece's wedding. They got married,
sure,
in some community center. My father always said that Catholics were called to fraternal correction.
Absolutely.
In other words, if someone's not in compliance with the Catholic faith that were raised Catholic, that we are called to not to admonish them, but just to bring to their attention,
mm-hmm,
you know, what a Catholic teaching is. So I don't really understand the difference between not judging someone and then a call to fraternal correction. Could you please explain?
Sure. Fraternal correction is you're talking to someone. First of all, both the judging is judging a person's moral character or saying you're evil or you're bad for this reality. Fraternal correction would be the first thing is you love that person. They know you love that person, then you can give them fraternal correction. Like this morning, today is a perfect day for the gospel and the first reading. In the first reading, they were trying to get Paul because Paul was and they wanted to kill him and that. And so Paul gets up and then he says, I am being here because I am a Pharisee and I believe in the resurrection. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees start fighting so intently over that, they almost killed Paul, so they had to take him out. And then you see Jesus today in the gospel, and Jesus says, pray that they, Father, I pray that they be one. One focuses on what's right and what's wrong, and you can always have that. Like I always say, I'm always right, and everyone who doesn't agree with me is going to hell. Just so everybody knows that's listening right now, that's the way it is. At the same time, that's not the way Jesus deals with it. Jesus, what we do, if I really love the person that I am talking about right now, that I would die for them. Years, a couple of months ago, almost a year ago, someone called and says, Father, I'm not going to a wedding because they're living together right now. And I says, okay. And I says, they're going to get married in church? Yes. Well, if the church is going to be there, why aren't you going to be there? Because I want them to know how sinful they are. Okay, great. I said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to start fasting on bread and water every Friday till now, until 6 months till the wedding happens. And the guy hung up on me. Right? Because when you love somebody to give fraternal correction, that means you would be willing to take their penalty, that you would sit there and you would start fasting and praying for them on your knees just to get them converted. Then after you do that, that's when you tell them. But until you do that, that's when you keep your mouth shut, is what I say. You got to keep your mouth shut unless they know you love them. But too many Catholics, too many people love to only point out people's sin and say, I'm doing fraternal correction with no love. Love is horrid. I mean, truth without love is horrendous and has no place in the church.
We're really good about the correction part. The fraternal part, not so much.
Exactly. But we have to tell people that, you know, living in sin is bad for them, you know, because we're concerned about their soul. But we do that because we love them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
always got to be the thing. Because, again, yesterday I was on Facebook and someone was talking about a good friend of mine who's going to be a bishop here next week. I know this bishop is pro-gay and everything else. I said, you don't even know this guy. And yet all the people are talking about, I'm doing fraternal correction. I'm just saying, I want you to keep your mouth shut. upset because you don't know the thing. You have this nutty group that sat there and took something out of context and have run with it, and then everybody jumps on board and, oh, I'm a good, solid Catholic. I don't buy it, and it's better us to keep our mouths shut than it is to go around judging people. But if we know them and we love them, of course we should be able to tell them what we believe and for their own sake. So if that's the whole thing. Where is love in the midst of all this? Okay?
Okay, thank you.
God bless you, Natalie.
Lee in the great state of Nebraska wrote in, Father Larry, and he said that he thanks you for all that you do. Your talks have changed his life.
That is good. See that? God can use anybody, even someone like me. So we keep focusing on Jesus. Good job.
Back to the Republic of Texas we go. Terry is in Houston listening to EWTN on Guadalupe Radio. Terry, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Terry.
How are you? I apologize for one more wedding question, but I just wanted to get this straight.
Okay.
If you attended a wedding on this, well, it'll be this coming Saturday.
Okay.
And it's really weighing very heavy on my heart because this is a former Catholic, baptized Catholic, getting married in a civil ceremony.
Yes.
If we were to attend that, is that something we just should not do? And can you go on to the reception? Enjoy that. I am really struggling.
If it's not your son or daughter, I would not go. You know, only because of that. I mean, so, but go to the reception and that. But again, when it comes to mother, father, sister, brother, son or daughter, then I would say it's more you got to pray about it. But on a general norm, on a regular thing, you should not go to those type things.
Okay, yeah, this is a cousin,
okay.
And this is...
Yes, I mean, it's not going to matter whether you're there or not, so why go and do that? I would not.
Okay,
go.
Perfect.
Okay.
So the reception is okay to just enjoy.
Yes, I would. But again, you're going to find someone that's going to talk about the nine ways of helping and participating in mortal sin. Again, there's a lot of things we can go and convolute this, but I would say just don't go to the service, but you could go to the reception.
And sign the card. Sign the card, go to Mass.
Yeah, go to Mass or go to hell. There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. you mentioned on one of the other ones.
Sure.
If two people, once they, whether they've cohabitated or not, when they choose to get married, if the church is there, then...
Then we should be there.
We should be there. Okay, that's
of
what
course.
I've mentioned before. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
We head now to Spokane, Washington. Janelle's in Spokane listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Janelle, you're on with Father Larry.
Hi, Father Larry.
Hello.
I hate to say this, but this is one more marriage question. And then I had a second question, but the first one has to do with marriage.
Okay.
I thought it was you who said one day that if you don't have intent to have babies don't get married. But my question
no, you can't
was,
get married in the church. It has nothing to do with about don't. It's about the church says you can't.
Okay, well, that was my question is, how about if you're... Old, past the age of physically capable, you're an
That's
older
different.
Woman.
Yes, you still have to be open to it. So if you want to, if like you're 70 and you're getting married, and I ask the people all the time, are you open to having children? And they just laugh at me, and I always say, well, you know, Sarah was 98 or 99, whatever, and she still had a child. So that's the different thing.
Okay.
You know. So you have to be open to it, that's all. And you have to be able to perform the physical marital act, which is the question we ask every time.
Well, if I get a baby after how old I am, I go, God really wants this baby.
Yeah, exactly. But as long as you're open to it, that's the main thing.
Okay, then my second question is,
mm-hmm.
and I thought you had dealt with this before.
Okay.
But it surprised me. You said, and I'm not going to say you because I don't know if it was you. It was said on the radio that the church does not agree that you can use marijuana medically for a condition, and that blew me away because drugs have more side effects. So why all of a sudden they do the line?
I have absolutely no idea to that question. I would think if it becomes illegal, I mean, because if it's legal in certain places, once it becomes legal, I think it would be just like alcohol and that. But I don't know. I'm
Colin
not
moral... Donovan. Colin Donovan tomorrow. Call back.
Okay.
You know.
There you go. And if he knows, that's pretty good because I don't know if the church.
Father Larry, would you leave us with a non-marital
I
blessing?
I quit. Holy Father, great God of love and mercy, I ask you to bless everyone who's listening now with peace. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. On behalf of our wedding counselor, Father Larry Richards, our producer, Elena Rodriguez, call screener, Matt Gubinski, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson. I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for carving out a little time on your Thursday to join us. Back at it tomorrow, our Vice President of Theology, Colin Donovan, back from Ireland. You won't want to miss it. Until then, God bless.